I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a poetry minute in celebration of National Poetry Month. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about the global recession, focusing on the situation right here in the U.S. Last week's unemployment numbers showing the loss of another 660,000 jobs in March was expected, but painful nonetheless. Now, handing out pink slips is never easy, whether you're a CEO or a low-level manager. But for small business owners, the prospect of letting even a few employees go could be especially painful. To talk more about how small businesses are coping, we've asked our personal finance expert, Alvin Hall, to stay with us. And here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio is Scott Neal, who owns a small contracting business in the Washington, D.C. area, H4H General Contractors and Handyman for Hire. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us. It's nice to be here.
Scott, let me begin with you. When did you start to notice the downturn in your own business? Things in Washington have been pretty good for a while. A lot of activity in the construction business and home remodeling.
Yes, I would agree. I think things started to slow down probably last summer as, you know, mention of this housing bubble started. When we got closer to the holidays and with the promise of a new administration, I think people were kind of at a hold. But this holiday was one where I sat around a little bit more than I would have liked.
Were people just not calling you back? Were they just not calling at all?
Yeah,
were
phones not ringing as much. Phones not ringing as much. I don't necessarily run into the situations where I have clients that don't pay. I think the jobs, though, have been a little bit more conservative. So I don't have as many, you know, lavish kitchen renovations or over-the-top bathrooms happening in homes. I think one of the things in my business is that in addition to being a general contractor, we run a handyman business. So in that instance, it's a little recession-proof in that things in a home are always going to break. And so you want someone that you can trust and depend on to come in and fix them.
So here's the hard question. You employ four people.
Yes.
Have you had to let anybody go?
No. I have had to underemploy them, though. So they
cut their hours.
Yes, cut their hours. Instead of them working 5 or 6 days a week, they were down to 2 or 3 days a week. And, you know, that's tough because, you know, they have families. And, you know, I'm involved in those families. And so I feel for them.
Some would argue, why have four people working 2 or 3 days a week when you could have three people working full time?
Different skill sets. Everyone brings a little bit something to the table. So not everyone is going to do the same thing. So, you know, I think the thing that works for us is that we are very flexible and we can do a lot of different things well.
When you're honest with yourself, do you think part of it is your personal relationship with folks? I mean, if you work with four people, that's a different thing than working with 4,000. I mean,
true.
If someone is going to lose his or her job, you're going to have to personally speak to that person and say, I'm sorry.
That's true.
And do you think your personal relationship is part of that?
Definitely. I'm very close with my staff and my team, both my business partner and I. You know, we look at them as a family. And, you know, two of our guys are very young. We've seen them, you know, come up from late teens. They're now in their early 20s. And so when we mentor them, we want to see them doing well. I help them in any way that I can. I'm finding them housing. You know, I'll take them food when they're sick. I get them from their doctor's appointments back home. So, I mean, it's more than just being a boss. It's really kind of being a coach.
And how have you been able to afford this to keep four people on payroll, even if you've cut their hours?
Right. That's
and still keep your business when the business is slow.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, I've certainly used up a lot of my reserves. And there are certainly times when, you know, my business partner and I are the last ones to get paid.
Alvin, let's bring you back in. I think it's pretty well known that small businesses are the kind of the engine of the economy, that they create most of the new jobs in this economy. But do you think that Scott's experience here is typical, that they're probably more likely to try to keep people on board, that they're providing more of a cushion than perhaps we realize?
Absolutely. I know from personal experience that my closest friend here in New York City last week had to lay off his personal assistant, and it was very hard for them because she had been around a long time, and they had held on to her and held on to her until it was very clear they just couldn't afford her anymore. And it was very hard to sit down and tell her that it was her last day. Other friends of mine in architecture who work in advertising and design are all laying off people with whom they have worked for years or with whom they've been had long-term relationships. I think this is occurring all across the country, and they're having exactly the same problem as Scott in trying to decide at what point do you become, and I hate to use this word, selfish and save yourself.
Exactly.
When you have this person that you've nurtured along the way. It's a very difficult decision, I think. And ultimately, someone like Scott at some point has to say, I need to help myself survive for another day so that I can keep the business going. So maybe in the future I can hire this person back. That's one approach. Other people have just said, we will all stay on this boat together and we'll all take pay cuts across the board just to keep it going because we all need to work together. And there's no perfect answer to the situation.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with our regular advisor in matters of personal finance and the economy, Alvin Hall. And we're joined by General Contractor Scott Neal, and we're talking about how small businesses are adapting to the recession. Alvin, you were saying there's no perfect answer to this, but is there some rule of thumb, or is this really a personal decision?
In small businesses, it's often very much a personal decision. Some small businesses will look at their employees and say, okay, this person is weak, this person is strong, they have similar sales skill sets, let's let that one go and keep this one. But in Scott's case, they bring different aspects of the table. So to lay off one means that he has to forsake his job of managing the company, bringing in new business, and go out and do the work, which undermines the potential growth of his business or the sustainability of it. So I think every company is a little bit different. Yesterday, I was talking to an architect, and the way he has handled this is that when people have left, he has simply not filled any new jobs, or when a project ends, if there's not a project to move a person forward, he will tell them that their time with the company has ended. That's another way of handling. He's worked with these people a long time, but he finds that's the easiest way for him to let them go.
Scott, how you mentioned that you're doing a lot more of the work yourself and foregoing some of your managerial responsibilities and foregoing more of your business development responsibilities to do the work yourself. Why is that?
I think in this downturn of the economy, it's caused me to be much more fiscally responsible in that I'm really watching the dollar much more than I used to. So if we can use, a couple of screws, by going through a bucket versus opening a new box, I'll take that new box back to the hardware store and get the money back and save that money. So I'm always looking, okay, what's the best product that we can give, but what's the more fiscally responsible way to deliver it?
Do your employees know how bad things are?
My senior carpenter does. He certainly does because on a regular basis, he's offering to, you can cut my wages and, if you need to pay me next week, you can. And I'm like, no. You work hard. You've got three children and a wife. And so I'm always very interested in how his family's doing. We brought him on, 5 years ago. And, in that time, his youngest son's on spring break. He's playing with my nephew. They'll have a sleepover this week. If he can't take his wife to work, I'll do it. They live very close by, and I think that I was a support system for him. So he's family. He's family. So that
this
means
is a
something.
Tough situation, Scott.
It is.
This is a tough situation.
Do you have any advice for Scott?
I have two questions for Scott first, though. Scott, when you talked about using your reserves, were you using your personal reserves or your business reserves to keep things going?
Personal.
Personal. It's that level. Did your company have a lot of debt? Did you sort of fund things on credit cards and stuff like that?
We didn't have a lot of debt getting into this. So it's been managed. It's been very managed.
In another situation, I would tell somebody to sit down with your accountant and make a really hardcore business decision and decide which employees were strong and which ones were weak and let the weak ones go in order to keep the business going. But in your case, I think the family should sit down, the people who work for you, the people you care about, and let together make a decision for the sustainability of that business. I think it would be good not only for everybody, Scott, but it would be good for your soul. Because the one thing I hear in your voice is that if you have to let them go, it will hurt you a lot longer than it would be good for you. It would just hurt you too long.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. That's an excellent suggestions. I take them to heart.
And Scott, do you have any advice for other small business people like yourself?
Oh, gosh. I think one of the things that someone in a small business should be looking at doing is kind of diversifying their product line and trying to specialize in something, finding a need, filling a niche, and providing a good service. And so, you know, if it was in...
like your handyman services.
Exactly.
Some people say, oh, if it's not a $50,000 kitchen, I'm not interested.
Exactly.
But you'll fix the sink.
Right. The other thing I think that I would recommend is to really jump into your community. You know, I stay active at church. I have a ton of friends. I'm very social. And so I look at every opportunity to get out there as promoting my business. And so when people find out, oh, you're a handyman, I'm like, oh, wow. You don't look like one. And I'm like, well, what can you do? So it's always an entree into providing a service. And so diversify, you know, get involved, get out there, be social, be talking, and be pushing your service.
Well, thank you for sharing with us. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck, Scott.
Thank you, Elvin.
Scott Neal owns a contracting business in the Washington, D.C. area, H4H General Contractors and Handyman for Hire. He was here with me in our Washington, D.C. studios. Also with us, our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, Alvin Hall. He was with us from our New York Bureau. Alvin, thank you.
You're welcome.
We've just heard how the recession is affecting small business owners. Now we'd like to hear from you. If you own a small business or work for one, how has your work life changed during the downturn? Have you lost hours, benefits, even your job? To tell us more, please call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522. Please remember to tell us your name and where you're from, or you can go to our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org, and blog it out.